Okay, so I'm going to do with you today, with Hashem's help, two parts of One Piece. It's going to be part A and part B. We'll see if we probably will get to part two. So let's see. We're up to Yom Kippur. It's coming. The Shabbos is called Shabbos Shuva, Shabbos Teshuva. So what we want to talk about, since we're learning Sfas Amos, we want to talk about what does Shabbos have to do with Teshuva? Right, it's not just by chance that we call it Shabbos of Teshuvah. Apparently, Shabbos has something to do with the Teshuvah process. So we want to talk about that, right? That's the question. What does Shabbos have to do with Teshuvah? We want to try and explain that in maybe two different ways. And we want to talk about in general, how does Teshuvah work? How does repentance work? What's the process? What are we trying to accomplish? How does it work? So a general thing about Teshuvah, and then we'll try and get to specifically the concept of Shabbos in Teshuvah, because we're heading into Shabbos, which is called Shabbos Shuvah. That's the game plan over here. So far, so good. Sounds good?
Yes.
All right. Thumbs up from David. Yes, from Josh. Kerry. And no.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stand on the table and y'all repent.
That's it. Teshuvah. You gotta do Teshuvah, that's right. So he writes over here like this. I'm gonna read you some of the words. He writes in the top over there. He says, Kamo Shahachet, just like the sin, who, Bashituf Haguf Vahanafesh. When we sinned, what components did we use to do that sin? What did we use? What were the ingredients? What elements? What was the tools that we used to do that sin? So he writes very interesting. So Asama's right that we use two elements. We use the body and we use the soul. Now, why is that? We use the body to do that, right? Let's take a very simple graphic example. Somebody who murdered somebody. When I say simple, I don't mean common. I mean something, you know, basic. So somebody killed somebody. What did he use to kill that person? He used his body, that hand, the hand that held the gun, that pulled the trigger. And he used the soul too, because the soul is really the giving that body life. So his life that he used to do that act was coming from the soul. What was causing the heart to pump and the general, what gave his brain the ideas and the concepts and the thought process behind it, how he's going to plan it out. That's all coming from the soul side of it. When the soul and body come together, they could choose to do two things. It could be lethal or it could be unbelievable. But the soul is definitely a player in the body's ability to sin. So when we sin, we messed up, you could say, two elements. We did something wrong to our body and we did something wrong to our soul because they both participated. They were both accomplices in the act of sin. So that's what he says. Now he says, therefore, what do I want with that? Kain, Tzarech, Leos, HaTeshuvah. When we do Teshuvah, Teshuvah means to repent, to return, to rectify. We need to make sure that we're rectifying everything that we used to do the sin. So you got to rectify the body, and you got to rectify the soul. If I used it, it's beautiful. The setup was I found this piece very, really, you know, this afternoon. I was looking at it. I was like, wow, what an interesting concept. The body and the soul both sin, so we need to rectify the body and the soul. You can't do one without the other, because then you're left with a mess. So we need to fix both. Now the question is, but that's his, I call it his thesis. Now the question is, how do you do that? So we've all, over the past year, we've all done a couple sins right here and there. Maybe three, four. Josh, what do you say?
I have a whole list on my phone.
You got a list? Like we could do like a shared screen.
Sure.
couple sins over the year, right? If anybody wants, Josh, I know is like some hardcore stuff. But if you want a little bit of hardcore stuff, what I always notice is during these 10 days of repentance when we're really trying. So I feel like I'm much more conscious about everything I do wrong. And because, you know, we're trying not to do it. And it's just scary. You know, 10 days. Mm-hmm. It's just a few hours you know, the amount of mistakes we can make in a few hours. You know, we forget whatever it is, Hamalach HaKadosh, because we were spacing out during Shemoneh Esrei. We have to start again at the beginning. And then that means we weren't concentrating on the prayer. Coming late, evil speech, whatever it is. It's just the number of, you know, it's pretty scary. It's pretty scary. We want to take a very honest, an honest look. Tzvi, good evening.
Good evening.
So let me recap Tzvi, because I want it before we continue. Very, very simple. The Sfasem is right so far. What we said is like this. What did we use to sin? We used the body and we used the soul. The body did the act. The soul was the driving life force behind the act. The body and the soul were both accomplices in the sin. When we do teshuvah, we need to rectify the body. And we need to rectify the soul because they both took part in sin. That's this thesis. Now the question is, how do we do that? How do we rectify the body? How do we rectify the soul? We need to do something to both. Right? They both did something. So he writes like this. He writes, a tshuvas haguf, if you want to know how to rectify the body, that is b'siguf tanis. That is by afflicting it by fasting. That means that when we come to Yom Kippur, there's five afflictions that we do to our body. The main one, I would say, the big thing we do, which the Torah writes, is not to eat or drink, to fast, for it's pretty long. It's over 24 hours. Now, what we're doing at that point, who cares about the fact that we're fasting? Who's bothered by that? The body. Soul doesn't care. The soul, actually, we were talking about it with Rabbi Salmers. The sources that say that the soul actually is in pain when we eat. Just the opposite. The Shalah, based on the Zohar, Rabbi Sadek Kaklin talks about it, how when we have a commandment to eat, on Erev Yom Kippur, and then on Yom Kippur we fast. He says, when we eat on Erev Yom Kippur, we're giving pleasure to the body and pain to the soul. Mm-hmm. When we fast on Yom Kippur, we're giving pleasure to the soul and pain to the body. So they really, they're just, they're opposite. The point being that when we afflict when we don't eat on Yom Kippur, what we're doing is we're breaking the body. The body is telling us, giving us signals about 18 times a minute that I am hungry, I am thirsty, I am in the need of caffeine. I want
the pain of the feet.
The pain of the feet. That's right. We're standing and the lack of washing and just the. That's right, standing all day, it's painful for the body. And we have to realize a beautiful thing, that we're not looking to afflict the body. What we want to do is we want to cleanse it. This body didn't behave during the year, right? Like we said, the body and the soul both have taken a hit. The body we're going to clean by talking its language. We're going to withstand, we're going to abstain from eating and drinking and wearing shoes and all that stuff. And through that, we are going to rectify the body. So you go through Yom Kippur, think about it, of 24 hours of giving your body a little pain, and it's a good price to pay to get a clean and pure body. Now, that's what you would call the simple part. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lot easier to just, you know, go through some physical pain. We can do that. 24 hours, 26 hours, you know, we can do it.
Erev Yom Kippur lashings.
The Erev Yom Kippur lashing, that's right. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Like Josh is justly pointing out, in the olden days they used to do give themselves lashings before Yom Kippur as atonement, not to be done today on the strict doctor's orders.
I thought you would come over as the
you thought we were given to you,
the,
huh?
Honoree to render them.
Yeah, there's a. There is such a thing. There is such a thing.
How great, does it?
They actually do it.
Lately.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
Whoa. Really? Mm-hmm. Whoa. The author, have you heard of the Yisod Vashor Shavoda? Great tzaddik. A real, he doesn't need my endorsement. But you know, if you read a little bit of his sefer, truly mind-boggling, the level of the piety where he was holding. And he wrote in his will, which is printed in the sefer. Scary thing. I don't know if they did it. I don't know if they actually kept it. But they wrote, he wrote in as well that after he dies, he wants them to take his body and do with it all four of the capital punishments that we do. Stoning, strangling, burning. That's what he asked them to do to his body. I don't know if they did it. I know the end of the story. But at least that's what he asked for. So, you know, this there is such a level at that. But I, like I say, today we take a different approach. it's written that the students of the Baal Shem Tov write that he spent a long time in heaven. And one of his big accomplishments was that he traded in what they used to do with fasts and with afflictions. He got them to trade it all in for a little bit of devotion and warmth and connection to God. Instead, he changed the approach a little bit, and a little bit what our generation needs, except for Rabbi Josh. Mm. He is still a holdout from the pre-Hasidic generation.
You should see me on my roof blowing the shofar, yelling teshuva, teshuva.
That's it. I'm for it. I'm for it. I can't deal with it, Josh, but you could. Now, moving on. How do we rectify the body? Right? One day we could do your track. Mm-hmm. One day we could take a hit. But how do we fix the soul? How do we give pain to the soul? So he writes a beautiful, beautiful thing. I heard from Rav Lapiansky one time spoke about this. I remember he spoke about this concept. And he said like this. He says, Teshuvas and nefesh alidei haboshes. There's a concept called boshes. Boshes means embarrassment, shame, feeling of shame. He writes that the feeling of shame is what rectifies the soul. And it's a very, very eye-opening point, what he's saying. Because we, in general, I look at shame as something which is painful, something which is embarrassing, something which I could wish I could just get rid of. Right? We all have moments in our life where we feel, I'm not talking about spiritually, when I think back to certain things I did when I was a 21-year-old, right? And, you know, immature, you can call it. And from the vantage point of where I am today, even though some of you may say that I'm still very immature, but at least from my age of 30, I'm looking back at 21 and there's some deep shame at things that were done. You know, it was like, whoa, it's like, whoa, that was really babyish. Like I wish nobody would have seen me. And that, don't worry. I'm not talking about anything wrong. I'm talking about just antics that we do when we look back and we're like, whoa, we used to do that. That's embarrassing. Now we look at shame, embarrassment as a very negative thing. On Yom Kippur, we talk about shame straight. We're very busy with it. We're embarrassed. We're shame. We feel shame about what we did. We write very strong words about how I feel. Do we have a Yom Kippur machzor?
At home.
Over here. I wonder if they give me a second. See if we have. Oh,
Josh, I can't see your face.
I'm getting old, guys. I brought along my Yom Kippur machzor and I forgot. Let me read you some of the words. Some very intense words about shame. And it says like this. I'm going to read you in the English. It's, God, before I was created, I wasn't worthwhile to be created. Now that you did create me, it would almost be better as if you didn't create me. I feel like dirt. I am, Hare ani lefanecha, I am before you, kechli, like a vessel, male busha ochlima. I'm in front of you like a vessel full of deep shame. If you want to, where we want to get to, this is what we say, the end of the Shemona Esrei, after we do all the vidois and all the achates and all the bangings and all the sins and enumerating them, at the end of it, we say to God, you want to know how I describe myself right now? I'm a vessel of shame. How's that? A vessel. What do we want from this feeling of shame? And the Sfasam is right. It's amazing what he's saying. What he's saying is that the way you afflict your body is by abstaining from food and drink. The way you afflict your soul is by giving it a feeling of shame. The feeling of shame is a deep cleansing process to the soul. Because the soul, what it truly desires is a feeling of honor. It desires a feeling of worth, a feeling of connectivity, a feeling of goodness. When the soul feels, why do we feel shameful? Right? If you think about it, what's the root of shame? Where does it come from? I believe it comes from the soul. That's what Rav Aaron Lapiansky, as far as I remember, was saying. That's the feeling of shame comes from the soul. It's when the soul knows that it could have been better and it's not in a better place. When we don't know better, think about it like this. Think of a 2-year-old child. Now, a 2-year-old child, which I enjoy noticing always, 3-year-old too, 4-year-olds many times too, they will walk into a room, right? They'll come into shul in the middle of Rosh Hashanah, and they're in the middle of blowing the shofar. The place is silent, and they don't have any sense of embarrassment, any sense of this, right? There's no sense of their surroundings. They will just belt out really loud, something really childish as their age, and the room is quiet, and the father is cringing. But the kid doesn't have a sense of shame, right? Kids do it all the time. They don't sense the surrounding, and they don't feel that, like, whoa, that was inappropriate. I should probably be quiet right now. They don't have it. Why don't they have that? I'm just thinking of this now as we speak. Mm-hmm. Why don't they feel that shame? Because they don't know any better. And the level at the age of 2 or 3 or 4, they don't know anything better than that. Their mind hasn't developed to the point where they know anything better. So long as you don't know anything different, anything better, anything bigger, you're not going to feel shame from an act that you do. When do we feel shame? We feel shame when we do something, when we catch ourselves doing something that was beneath our level. That's when we feel embarrassed, right? When we walk into shul, this should never happen, but if one day we walk into shul and we get really angry and we lose and we blow our top and we have this tantrum in shul at the age of 30, that's a good reason for shame. That's like, I'm a 30-year-old person that just acted like 2-year-old. That's when we feel shame. The feeling of shame is coming from the soul that knows that it should be bigger, it is bigger, and it got a little bit dragged down into something which wasn't really where it's at. When the body drags the soul into the mud, the soul cries out and says, I shouldn't be there. I'm a son of God. I belong in the heaven. Why was I just dragged through the mud of your sin that you just did? And that's where the feeling of shame comes from. And that feeling of shame is a place that we need to get to. Because if we don't feel shame about things that we've done, we're not looking to knock us. What we're looking to is to cleanse us. The shame is what will cleanse the soul. It comes from the soul and it cleanses the soul. When we get to the pinnacle of the Shemona Esra and we realize that the way we've acted and things that we've done are shameful, I'm a vessel of shame. I've not acted according to my level. That pain to the soul is the affliction that cleanses it. That's where we need to get to. So on Yom Kippur, we want to get to a place where we're taking care of both. This is part one. We want to get to a place where we afflict our body. Very simple. By just abstain. And I feel like, maybe it's just because, thank God I normally fast okay. But I feel like that's the easier one of the two. Because it's a lot easier to do something physical than to have a spiritual feeling. We could all not eat. It might hurt. It might be painful. But in my mind, the physical thing is always easier. If you ask me to do something physically strenuous, I could do it. If you ask me to go against my character and go out of my comfort zone and do something which my wonderful midos are telling me not to do, it's a lot harder than doing something, picking up a heavy suitcase. That's what I feel. So what we want to get through in Yom Kippur is afflict the body, cleanse it. We've got to afflict the soul. The way to afflict the soul is to get to a feeling of shame. The feeling of shame is the definition is the soul is crying out that I was created for a way bigger purpose than what I did. I'm so much bigger. Not looking to knock us. Shame is the opposite. Shame is the soul telling us. Put it this way. If we do something and we're embarrassed about it, that's a good sign. Mm-hmm. The kid's not embarrassed by what he did because he thinks that there's nothing better than what he did. If we feel embarrassed by what we did, that's a good sign. It means that our soul is telling us that, sir, you're bigger than that. You just pulled me down. That's not where we're supposed to be. We were supposed to be bigger than that. I think that's a good way to say it. I'm just thinking aloud. The sense of shame is a compliment. It's good news for the person. It's the soul telling the person that we live with each other and we didn't do our mission. We weren't supposed to do that. We were supposed to be bigger than that. We were supposed to be loftier than that. We were supposed to be more connected to our source than what we did. That's a feeling we need to have. Now, here comes Shabbos. You ready? Here comes a classic Sfas Emes move. Now, it says about Shabbos. Our sages teach us. The word Shabbos is the same as the word. Mix around the letters. Mix around the letters of Shabbos. I want to give it a try. Mix around the letters of Shabbos. What word are you going to come up with?
Boishas.
Boishas. Thank you, Tzvi. Thank you, Tzvi. Shabbos and Boishas. Boishas is embarrassment. Shame. The word for shame, Boishas, is the same letters as the word Shabbos. What does that tell me? This tells me, says the Sfas Emes, that Shabbos brings us to Boishas. Shabbos brings us to shame. Now, hey, wait a second. Why is that? The answer is very simple. Because Shabbos is a day where we become elevated. We got lifted up. What happens when we got lifted up? The second we got lifted up, we look back at what we did when we weren't lifted up and we're embarrassed. So anytime we have an elevation, I'll give you an example. Imagine you're, I'll give you a very, very simple and not good example, but imagine, let's take a person's level of dress. So we're accustomed, so for me, an expensive suit means it costs $300. If I buy a $300 suit, then I feel good. I'm wearing a nice suit. And I'm all proud of my suit. I'm wearing my suit and walking around, or, you know, showing people, look inside, look at the company, and it's all great. Then I marry, this is not a true story, but I marry an extremely wealthy family. And for them, a $300 suit is, you know, not even a week, not even something they would wear in the week. So suddenly I walk in there, it's by my engagement, and everywhere I look around me, people are wearing, you know, $2,000 suits. And what's going to happen to me at that moment? And I was all proud of my $300 suit. I'm going to want to cringe and just take it off and just hide it like a vessel of shame. Now, because like, whoa, this is cheap. This is like embarrassing to be seen in this room with everybody else with my $300 suit. Now, what has changed? Why was it that a minute ago I was proud? The next second I'm shameful of what I'm wearing. Why is that? The answer is because I got an elevation. When we elevate ourselves from the vantage point of that elevation, anything that's beneath that, it's shameful that I have it. So as soon as we lift ourselves up, the first thing we're going to feel, the first emotion is going to be shame. That means shame is not a bad thing at all. Shame is just, like I said before, shame is just a sign that we're in a higher place. And now that I'm in a higher place, I'm looking back. Excuse me, I'm looking back and saying that anything that was beneath that, was underneath that, is shameful. So in the week, we're at level one. Shabbos, we get reached up to extra soul in the Shema Yisera, and suddenly we're in level 100. Level 100, suddenly my feeling now is that I acted inappropriately at my previous level. So what Shabbos does is it brings us to Boishas in a good way. It causes us to feel that things that we've done were beneath my dignity. Not in an honor, a physical honor type of way, in a spiritual way. It was like, you did that? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with what you did, but I feel now how big I am. I'm a Shabbos Jew. I did that. It's like, you know, when we talk things that we, you know, bad speech, evil speech, Lashon Hara. So in the moment, all right, it feels like that. When you get into a different mode, you know, you're in the company of very elevated people, then you would never dream of talking Lashon Hara. And if they would know what we words came out of our mouth, we would be full of shame because we're so much bigger and better than that. So Shabbos brings us to Boshes. Now this is why, says the Sfas Emes, it's called Shabbos Teshuva. Shabbos Shuva. Shabbos of repentance. What does Shabbos have to do with repentance? The answer is very simple. The essence of repentance, what we're saying now, is the feeling of shame at things that I've done. The feeling of shame comes from a recognition that I'm bigger and I acted beneath my dignity. Shabbos will take us to that place right away. Shabbos is the best route to get to Teshuvah. It's not just that it happens to be that it's Shabbos before Yom Kippur and we call it Shabbos Shuvah. It's not just that it happens to be that the words of the Haftorah start off with Shuvah Yisrael Av Hashem Elokecha. Of course, that's true. Right? That is definitely the case. But Shabbos brings us to Teshuvah because Shabbos brings us to Boshes, which is Teshuvah. We have to, when we want to use the Shabbos, by the way, the Sfas Emes points out that this Shabbos is the first Shabbos of the year that we're starting. So keep that in mind. This is the new year started, Rosh Hashanah. And this Shabbos is the first Shabbos of the year. So we definitely want to give it all we got because it's the first one. Besides that, we want to use it to elevate ourselves and then use that feeling of elevation to look back and say that other things that I did in the week or in the past year, were beneath my dignity. Because now put it this way. We spend our day in shul, on Yom Kippur. We get this elevation like never before. And when I say we spend our day in shul, that doesn't mean, I know this year not all of us are going to make it to shul. That doesn't mean the only place to do it is at shul. Wherever we are, we could do this. We spend our Yom Kippur praying to God. When we get to Ne'ilah, we hope to be in a place where we're really, really almost out of this world. Screaming Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We want to be almost out of this world, like angels. At that point, somebody comes over to you and taps you on your shoulder and tells you some stupid joke. Nothing wrong. Nothing inappropriate. Just a very, very petty joke. Right? In the height of Ne'ilah, as you're screaming out Shema Yisrael, what's your reaction going to be? What would the reaction be? Whatever we say, I'm not getting into, you know, what the correct response is, but what would the feeling be? The feeling would be of I'm busy right now with bigger and better things. Mm-hmm. Please, I don't really have time for this stuff. I'm too big. I'm at Ne'ilah right now. I'm at the gates of heaven, you know, I'm in the gates. I'm talking to God. I'm connecting with God on a level that I haven't done for a year. Like, I'm just too big to be busy with petty jokes right now. And it's a little bit embarrassing that you're saying this. It's a little bit shameful. It's a little bit like, don't you know what time of year it is? Like, this is what's on your mind? Mm-hmm. That is the feeling of shame that we need to feel on Yom Kippur. And we need to use Shabbos, we need to use Shabbos and Yom Kippur to lift ourselves up. The higher we lift ourselves up, the more shame we're going to feel. And it's not a bad thing. It just means that we've got higher. If we feel shame, it means we're being successful. And the shame, we have to realize, is cleansing the soul. That's what cleanses the soul. Make sense? I'll share with you. I don't know if we're going to have time for the second point, but that's fine. I'll share with you something that, spoiler alert, it's going to be on my WhatsApp video that is going to go out on Erev Yom Kippur. But I cannot say this now because it's really the point that we're saying. The point is like this. How many times, does anybody know, how many times do we say the vidui on Yom Kippur? How many times do we say it? If we're at shul. and a minion. How many times do we say the Vidur? Shamnu, Bagadnu, Kazalnu. How many times over the course of the day do we say the Vidur?
Including Chazaras Hashatz?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, because we say it with the Chaz in that.
Wouldn't it be five? If we are, unless you're saying we say it ourselves and then we say it with the chazan.
With the chazan, so you're saying five because five prayers plus another five times with the chazan.
And but we also say five times ourselves.
Right, so a total of 10.
So it's 10, yeah.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah, I think that is the correct answer. I believe it's a total of 10. We say the same words, the same repentance, 10 times. Hmm. And I don't know about you, but I've definitely had the feeling in the past that it's a little bit repetitive. Like, enough. You know, I said it once, twice, three times, but time number 8, it's like, all right, we got it. I repented. I already did it. I already, you know, that's okay. It's enough. 10 times you want me to say the same cycle of repentance? It really feels, it's strange. Now, what are we doing exactly? Right, it's a question. So I heard this from one of my teachers. His name is Rav Nissim David Kivak. He's a Breslova, big tzaddik. He lives in Yerushalayim. A big Kabbalist. Very great person. And he has a little sefer where I notice he addresses this question. He says something amazing. He says something beautiful. Once you hear this, I heard it. It was a game changer. I hope it will be the same for you. It's really a game changer. He writes like this. It's along the lines of what we're saying. It's not repetitive at all. Every time we say Vidur, we became a little closer to God. Now that I'm a little closer to them, after having said it one time, my vantage point, where I'm looking back at my past year, is different. Because where I was before, all right, it was wrong. Think about it like this. At the age of 13, you did something really embarrassing. Now, at the age of 16, you're going to be a little bit embarrassed about what you did when you were 13. At the age of 20, more embarrassed. At the age of 30, even more embarrassed. Imagine at the age of 85, your grandson walks into the room and he says, Grandpa, I heard when you were 13, you did something really stupid. How embarrassed are you going to be then, right? They're like, oh boy, you even my grandchildren know about this. You want to sink into the ground. The older we get, the more shame we feel about things we did from before. Because it keeps on changing. Because we keep on having a loftier vantage point. Every time we say the Vidur, we're getting a little higher. Now that I'm a little higher, I'm ready to say Vidur again from my new vantage point. It's not the same thing at all. Really, I should say it 100 times. Because every time I say it, I'm getting closer. And the closer I feel, now I need to say it again. Because, oh my gosh, yesterday I said Lashon Hara. Me, this neshama, this great soul, part of God that came into this world to do his mission, I said Lashon Hara. By the time we get to Ne'ilah, that feeling of shame that I said Lashon Hara yesterday is 100 times bigger than it was at the beginning of Yom Kippur. And I need to say Ashamnu Baganu a whole new time because what I said at the beginning of Yom Kippur was a little bit of shame, but now we're by Ne'ilah, it's a whole different level. So saying the Vidur is not a circle. It's not a repetitive cycle of saying the same thing. It's a process of going up on the ladder. Every time you go up a step on the ladder, you now have a different vantage point at things that we did in the year, which means I need to say Vidur again. But doing video again gives me more shame. More shame is more cleansing. More cleansing means I'm closer. I'm closer, I gotta say video again. Isn't that amazing? It's beautiful. It was a real, real game changer for me. So
now that I'm thinking about it, it's probably 12 times because we also say it at Kol Nidre, you know, at the evening service, at Maariv.
At Maariv, yeah. So that's one of the five. There's Maariv, Shachris, Mench. Maariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, Ne'ilah. Those are the five.
Oh, okay.
Five. No, I'm saying on a regular day, we have 3 prayers. On a Shabbos, we have 4 because we have the Musaf. And on Yom Kippur, we have 5 because we have Ne'ilah. But yeah, there's never more than 5 prayers. So it happens when we say it in the mancha before Yom Kippur too.
Yeah,
you want right. Really, you know, if you want to call it 11, you can call it 11. We know the Arab Yom Kippur, we say the entire video too. But that's the point. The point is that it's not a repetitiveness at all. The purpose of Yom Kippur, the purpose of Shabbos, is to lift us up. And what we want from being lifted up is a feeling of shame. The feeling of shame means a sign that I'm on a different place now. And on this new plane that I'm on, looking down, I feel shame about what I did. That shame is what's going to cleanse my soul. So on this Yom Kippur, we need to take care of the body and we need to take care of the soul. We're going to abstain. That's going to be the affliction of the body from physical things. We're going to feel shame. That's not a negative. That's going to be the cleansing of my soul. How do I feel shame? The way shame works is because I'm bigger. Shabbos, I'm bigger. On Yom Kippur, I'm definitely bigger. As I go through the day on Yom Kippur, I need to keep on climbing and keep on getting bigger. The bigger I get, I got to say repentance again. Because, oh my gosh, from this vantage point, I can't believe I did that. And I'm going to say once again that I feel I'm shameful about what I did. That feeling of shame will cleanse us. We're cleansed, we got up to the next rung on the ladder. Say video again. Get up to the next rung. Say it again. Go up to the next rung. That is, until we get to Ne'ilah, we hit the top, and then we crash bang back down into this world where we have to go and figure it all out and figure out how to bring what we had on Yom Kippur back into our lives. Don't think we have time to talk about that process, but that's definitely something that needs figuring it out. But I hope the point that we were saying was clear, helpful, and I wish you all a good Shabbos, a Gemar Chetima Tova. We should all merit to reach these lofty, lofty heights that are available, that are up for grabs, and we should do it. We should do it, and we should be successful at what we do. Thank you all.
Amen.
Shakar, thank you. So, heads up before you leave. We're going to be on a little bit of break now because Sukkot is coming up. So we're going to pick up again probably the Thursday after Sukkot. So this Thursday, maybe there's a chance, probably not. Let's assume that we'll pick up again the Thursday after Sukkot. I will try and I'll do some recordings maybe. On the WhatsApp on Sukkot recordings. All going well. But we'll pick up Thursday night, Thursday after Sukkot.
All right.
All right. Be well, everyone. Good Shabbos.